Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the GOATs in the industry since 1974. Go check them out and see what they can do for you, whether it be a web store, which they're so dang good at, or, something else to outfit your team in the business world or on the field. Tonight, we have Terry Harrison, head coach of the, what are we called? The resurgent Friends Falcons over here? I mean, you know, it is the best season that Friends has had in, it's been a hot minute. It's the first over 500 season since 2014. And it's the first two-loss season that Friends has had since 2009. Does Resurgent work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. When I played in this conference, Friends was beating everybody. So, but, you know, my memories of Friends back in the early 2000s was them winning every game they played. But, yeah, I think Resurgent, that's fair, and we'll take it. We'll take anything you got. That's good.
So, it is a fantastic year for Friends coming up. And, I mean, We sort of had a feeling that Friends was gonna get to this point soon rather than later. After a 4-7 first season, I don't know that I would have predicted 9-2, but I think you'll take it. You start off real strong with wins over St. Mary, playoff team Ottawa, you beat by 29 points. Avila, you beat by 34. And it's a real nice start to the season. Unfortunately, the turnover bug bites against Kansas Wesleyan. Talk to me about your strong start, your 3-0 start.
Yeah, you know, it was just great, man. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, more than anything, it was fun on campus, and, you know, just the vibe on campus, and, you know, the excitement around football. And, you know, we were excited. We knew we were going to be okay. We knew we were going to be competitive. I'll leave it at that. And honestly, we were 4-7 the year before, lost a lot of competitive games. And we've just been so good at retaining kids. Our kids just come back. And so we knew we were going to have experience and all those things. And we're obviously having some grad transfers come over that we had coached before helped a ton. But yeah, that strong start was awesome. And like you mentioned, I mean, it was just, you know, we were beat, like you mentioned, a playoff team we beat by 30 or something like that. And, you know, we were playing our JV, got a chance early in the season to play our JV kids in the fourth quarters, which was really good for our program. You know, and so it was awesome and fun, and it just kind of got the momentum going early on. So we were proud of it and really excited at that time for sure.
And unfortunately, like I had alluded to, Kansas Wesleyan, it's a game that you really do want to have, and I imagine that you would love to have some of those fumbles not bounce the other direction.
Yeah, you know, well, definitely that, you know, like what, you know, it's funny, like someone out there listens, I mean, how do you coach a kid not to fumble? Like no one's trying, kids are trying to score touchdowns and do that deal. So that's definitely frustrating. And then even, you know, defensively, I think we didn't play very well on defense against Kansas Wesleyan. I think we gave up the most points that they scored all year. It wasn't like a ton, by the way, but it was just the most that they scored all year. And so, you know, our kids are phenomenal here. We have kids that are awesome teammates, and I think we gave up a special teams touchdown, I believe, in that game as well. So, you know, it's not a one thing. Certainly the fumbles are absolutely killers and you cannot turn the ball over, which was the case later on for us too against Evangel. But, you know, it was a well-deserved loss. You know, we lost in every phase of the game, and that sucks, and it's embarrassing and not fun and all that good stuff. But our kids here embrace that, and it's given us, you know, more fuel for the off season to, you know, get ready to hopefully get ourselves in that position again and put a better foot forward against Kansas Wesleyan for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Evangel that was not to bring up bad memories, but that was a five fumble game. That is it's not conducive to winning football. I mean, but
and
when
we
you
lost,
run,
we lost by nine. I mean,
I know.
But you know the funny part about sorry, man, I cut you.
Nah,
off
you're
there,
good.
Now you got me thinking about it. But you know, it's both of those games, right? It wasn't that a turnover killed it. It just, man, it's so hard to overcome it. Just the roller coaster of emotions. And in both of those games, Kansas Wesleyan, we drove down to score in the under however many minutes, and we fumbled on whatever down it was going into store to win the game. And against Evangel, our defense did a great job. They kept getting us the ball back, and we'd have these awesome drives and go down and get into the, you know, into their side of the field and almost where we're about to punch it in and feel like, okay, here we go, and then an untimely fumble. And it's just, you know, it hurts. It's one of those deals, like, you know, it's a hard feeling after games. And, you know, we've been fortunate that over my career, those are what fuels you to get back at it in the off season and give it your best shot the next year. But definitely, you know, timely fumbles and just we still had shots to win those. You know, we're just a couple fumbles away from being undefeated, and who knows what that looks like. But it's, you know, that's the way it goes. No shoulda, coulda, woulda, I guess. It is what it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the point. I mean, you know, it's, And fumbles are different from interceptions. It's a completely different animal. You fumble the ball, there's a halfway decent shot. You're picking that thing back up. now, that might set you behind the chains a little bit. But interception, you're generally not getting that thing back. I mean, for a team like y'all who runs 95% of the time, something like 36 passes on 600 some odd plays. I think that's 95%. If I can math correctly, you're gonna that happens. It's an unfortunate side effect, I think, but it's one I think you can live with.
Yeah, you know, it's again, like, exactly. You know, regardless, fumble, pass, run the ball, pass the ball, turnovers are, you know, it's probably the most important stat in all of football. And so whether that happens on the kickoff or on offense or defense, you know, it's one of those deals that, momentum killers for sure.
I know going through there, then you end up you finish up the year with a shutout against Bethel at their place, 43-0, a 66-17 drubbing of McPherson, who is a pretty good football team, and a 68-6 drubbing of Bethany. And, you know, unfortunately, your season ends there in Wichita against Bethany. You don't get the call to the playoffs. I know y'all were trying to aim for it and angle and try to figure out how you can show your stats and all that, but talk about how that snub, you know, fuels the fire for you going into 2024.
Well, more than anything, it's one of those, just, you have to humble yourself a little bit. Like, the reality is we didn't do what we were supposed to do, you know, and whether, you know, on the other side of the division, Ottawa makes it, that's awesome. They did exactly what they need to do. And we wished them the best when they're in the playoffs, even though they're 6-5 and we're sitting at 9-2. And so, you know, we didn't do what we needed to do in our division to make the playoffs. And that's just kind of part of the deal. So I don't necessarily know that we feel like we got snubbed outside. I will say we were playing our best football late. You know, it just kind of talks to the importance of early season rankings. I mean, luckily, you know, this year we bring absolutely everybody back, minus two players. And so, you know, I think we'll be in the conversation for a pretty decent, you know, rating early on in the year. And that's the game we're playing. And you can either be, you know, we tell our kids you can be a baby about it, or, you know, you can, you know, deal with tough times like a tough guy should. And so that's kind of been the deal. So I don't necessarily know we got drubbed outside. I think we are one of the best teams in the country, you know, best top 20 teams in the country. I wish we would have had that opportunity, but we didn't. And so it's given us something to work towards. And like I said, I think if anything, it motivated, you know, like I mentioned, I told you before the podcast, all the seniors who walked on seniors day, all of them are coming back. They want another shot at this thing. And so, it's exciting. And like I said, if you had told us, you know, coming into Friends, the situation we inherited, that in the second year, you're going to be 9-2, barely missed the playoffs, and people thinking that you got snubbed, we'd be like, hey, we'll take it and we'll build from there. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a great spot to be in year two. Let's take a look at your players that you do have coming back? Because obviously it is quite a lot, especially on the offensive side of the football, where you return your quarterback, your leading rusher, Kevontae Baker, all-conference guys, first-teamers in Elias Pino and Lakin Cloudus, and second-teamer in Jet Cheatham. I mean, good gosh, that is the overwhelming majority of your rushing attack in terms of the skill players, but you also bring back a first-teamer in Kel Stroud and a second-teamer in Kyrie Watkins. You do lose your 17th-year senior in Keegan Martin, man, is there such a thing as getting better for an offense that had 7.72 yards per play in a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, our big deal this offseason is going to be, hey, the reality is we got to protect the football. And, man, if we do that, I think we scored 46 points a game or something like that last year. Kevontae led the country in touchdowns scored. You know, a bunch of stats, 4,600 yards rushing or something like that. And so, you know, certainly I'll tell you from a coach's perspective and from our players' perspective, there's a ton of room for improvement, which is awesome. You know, it's there's no feeling of we've made it here certainly, or that we've got anything figured out. You know, what we do, we've approached this offseason, even though everybody is coming back outside of, you know, Keegan, and then Dressler, who rotated with two other players at our fullback position. Everyone else comes back. So we're focused on what we weren't very good at, kind of seeing how guys, teams are playing us. And, you know, it'll be a different version in the fall. You know, it's subtle adjustments, but adjustments nonetheless that we do in the off season. And so, it's really exciting, you know, and it's fun. It makes spring ball easier. You know, reality is what's crazy. We have so many older guys and so many returners. Our freshman class was extremely talented. We were undefeated in JV football games. We have been for the last 2 years here at Fringe University. And so we've got a great group of underclassmen who are going to be extremely competitive, and someone will likely rise out of that and be a name that, you know, people may not know yet. And so that's pretty exciting. And then on top of that, when you have a great year like that, you know, maybe the best recruiting class we've ever put together, you know, in the years we've been doing this. So, I mean, nothing but excitement here as far as the level of talent we have and the ability we have to, you know, continue, you know, stacking special seasons. And if we keep knocking on the door, you know, eventually we're going to have an opportunity to play a football game in the postseason, and we're definitely excited for that.
Defensively, you do return a ton of players on that side, whether it's Bryson Wade on your D-line, Shamarius Davis, and like literally almost every other linebacker on your roster, a second team All-KCAC and Nolan Ewing. Talk to me about becoming elite on defense, going from good to great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's our challenge, right? We've done a great job defensively, by the way. I mean, we've been in the top third of most every category since we've been doing this. And so, you know, this is definitely not our defense has to do better. We want to raise that level a little bit. And if we can do that, that's where we can get pretty dangerous when you tag that on offense. And I would say, I mean, if you look at that last half of the season, our defense was in the divisional play when we had kind of got everything pieced together, our defense was, I mean, they were elite. I mean, they were just as good as any defense in the conference. And so if we can do that again, that'll be super cool. But yeah, like you mentioned, I think Trey Palmer, who was a grad transfer, obviously we'd lose him. But outside of that, every guy that rotated and played, you know, and again, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone, but yeah, any statistical guy is coming back. And we've got a couple transfers coming in, graduate transfers that were all conference guys. And so that's kind of cool, you know, get some older guys to come in and add to that. And our defensive backs, especially in recruiting, man, it's just as deep as we've been. So, you know, there's so much that has to happen between now and then as far as team culture and, you know, staying healthy and all that. But, man, if we can do that, and just a great time for us here at Friends as far as improving our defensive statistics, even though we've been up there in the top third, like we mentioned. So if we can do that, it should be, man, we should be a hard team. It should be hard to beat us on Saturdays, you know, and obviously if we don't beat ourselves, I think that's kind of the key, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, giving yourself every opportunity to go and score instead of handing over extra possessions. I mean, you can't argue with that. I mean, I don't know of any coach that's going to say, "Oh, I will turn down these three extra possessions every game, three other opportunities to score the ball." Yeah, I'm just going to hand those over.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the funny part, just talking to you and starting to think about coaching and all that. So it's just, you know, the really hard part is we want our guys to be fearless on Saturdays, and we're going to take chances. We're going to take risk. We're going to lay it on the line and really kind of let it all loose. And so, you know, when you do that, sometimes you miss opportunities for turnovers, and sometimes you do turn. So that's the fun part of coaching, I guess. And I think that's what our players, if you talk to them, I think that's what they like about us, is we don't overcoach that stuff. Like, we want our guys to be absolute studs and warriors on Saturdays. And, you know, we're not going to love you for, you know, scoring all these touchdowns and getting all these interceptions. And if you happen to mess up once, then come down on you like you're the worst player on the planet. That's just not the case. You know, you just, you know, people mess up sometimes. And so anyway, yeah, all that being said, man, it's really cool time around here. It's, golly, it feels like we've been here a decade, even though it's only been 2.5 years. And we have so many returners. There's just a lot of, passion, hunger to do better, but also a level of comfort now because we all know each other and everybody's returning. So it is, that's pretty cool, pretty special.
I mean, honestly, it is a really good time to be at Friends. I try to keep my ear to the ground. In the other sports, my friends, Taylor and Tyler and Robbie and all them over at NAI Ball and my buddies, yep, over at NAI Hoops Report. There's not a whole lot of NAI media, so we kind of stick together. But listening to NAI Ball this year, one of the biggest surprises on the baseball diamond this year has been Friends. With what I've seen with how they're investing into football, having baseball success doesn't surprise me. Talk about Friends' willingness to invest and getting good results out of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, we could go on and on forever about it. But, you know, we're in the middle of Wichita, which, you know, people out there don't know, biggest city in Kansas. We're right on the edge of downtown Wichita. So it's beautiful campus, awesome student life experience. You know, it's not just, you know, obviously Friends being a small private Christian institution, just phenomenal and elite as far as that goes, and campus ministry and all that. But then also the opportunity for paid internships. I mean, our kids, it is amazing here what kids are getting as far as employment opportunities, those paid internships we talked about, all the graduate programs we have here. It's just it's a really cool spot to be. And if you can get some synergy in the athletic department, like we have right now, a culture of coaches who do want, we are, I mean, I seriously think if Friends could be the elite NEI institution in the country. And I'm not saying that to put anyone else down. I mean, just the reality is, even as a high school coach in this city, we used to point at Friends and be like, man, how is that school not winning national championships in XYZ? Football is what obviously I'm passionate about. I mean, and that can happen here. And it sounds crazy to say that for some people, but until you step foot here, it's hard to describe. And people may think I'm blowing smoke, but once you're here, you realize, man, this is a different place. And obviously we have awesome leadership with President Carey. Our athletic director, Dr. Rob Ramsire, man, are just phenomenal leaders who want to compete nationally and do it in a way that honors God and really be the elite Christian institution in the Midwest. And that's our goal. And we're striving for that every day. And like you just mentioned, you can see it across all sports programs. And because reality is, Friends has won the Commissioner's Cup multiple years in a row. Football just wasn't helping with that very much for a while. And so now we're kind of doing our part. So yeah, it really is an awesome place. And, you know, and again, once you step on campus, I played in the NEI and I've coached now. This is my second school to coach here. That's why I guess I have some experience. And so I know, like, once you're here, you realize, okay, this is, Friends could be this or XYZ. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do here, is to reach our full potential. And for us, that's winning playoff football games and giving ourselves to play on the last weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it. I mean, that's why I listen to all the other guys over there, because you can see schools that are good at a bunch of things, that have a championship culture in their athletic department. Those are schools that you're going to always keep an eye on, whether it be like a Southeastern in Florida, even Kaiser or Texas Wesleyan. Those schools that have a championship mentality across everything they do. Indiana Wesleyan, I swear, is always in every conversation in every sport. Mm-hmm. Once you start seeing that, it's like, okay, this is a good foundation. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, friends absolutely should be. It really is. It can be talked about with the most elite of institutions at the NAIA level. And is really passionate about the NAIA athletics. And that's what I think that's what maybe sets us apart from some other schools. But, it's what I thought. It's everything I thought it would be, I guess, on the outside looking in. Before you work here, you really don't know. You're kind of taking a chance. But it really is every day. I mean, it's exactly what we thought it could be. And, now we just have to, get back and get to work and kind of do what it takes to climb the ladder or whatever that looks like.
So I know for most schools, you're either in the middle of spring practice or you're just coming out of spring practice, or maybe you're even about to go into spring practice. But, that's such the time of year where you get to push who you want to be next year and really set that that expectation. So what area of your program, on or off the field, are y'all really wanting to focus in on in 2024?
Yeah, that's awesome to hear that question. And also, like you mentioned, it is such an exciting time of year. I would say for us, we're not starting until April 8th, so we actually pushed it back really late. We're going 3 straight weeks, April 8th through April 20, whatever, 8th or whatever that is. For us, it is establishing depth. And because we have so many returners, letting our young guys get out there and compete and kind of make a name for themselves is really important for us. And then it's just continuing to build on what we believe the best team culture in all of NAI football. And we don't say that to put anyone else down, but we really believe that. Our kids live that every day. And so we attack every weightlifting session like that, every group period we do, everything we do. We want to have that the best team culture of all NAIA football. And if we do that, football is a very unique game. It's not always the most talented team that wins. It's the best team of players that play together. And so that's what we work on every day. Outside of some technical things, right? Little things and little strategic things that we're going to do. But in the end, football is kind of crazy. People get caught up in what offense you run, what defense you run, or if you're doing unique things in the kicking game. But in the end, that stuff, I don't think that's how you truly win championships. It does start with, loving your players loving each other. And so we focus really hard on that, and we don't apologize for that. And I think when you come and see it, and it's kind of proven in recruiting, man, that's why we're a magnet for really good players and special kids. They want to join our program. And then obviously when they do come here, they stay. And it is because of, we take it one day at a time, and every day is an opportunity to build our team culture, and our kids are doing a great job of that. So, and if we can do that and obviously stay healthy, we don't beat our guys up here. It's kind of funny, we're on the flex bone. People think we'd be out there like, banging skulls every day. And we just don't do that. I mean, we probably the least physical team in practice, that you probably see in the country. And so just keeping our guys healthy and understanding, what they need individually to get better, and kind of focus on some individual development. But that's what spring ball is for us. And, just an opportunity to be together. And that's what we love more than anything, is being out on the field and, practicing and playing the greatest game in the world.
Well, Coach, I'm so excited to watch KCAC football next year. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Evangel's brought a lot of fun into the conference and a unique identity into the conference that's allowed the conference to do some out-of-the-box things with their mm-hmm. divisions, their scheduling, and that makes for fun football. Unfortunately, it also makes for no out-of-conference games. But But, I'll take the weird divisional split in exchange for no out-of-conference. I mean, and the fact that they're willing to, and that they're going to change it up every 2 years.
Yeah.
You give me the choice, I'll take the re-racking of schools every now and then. I think that's really cool. And, as long as you keep your rivalries, fairly steady, I think that makes fun for your fans.
Yeah, I actually really love it. I think some people don't quite understand it, but I think it's smart, right? There's been you have coaching turnover sometimes, and whatever programs kind of ebb and flow, and so the goal of the division was to make sure that the top is separated and you don't get to you know, this year was a little funky, but we did have a division that had some more wins. You know, it was a weird year as far as that goes. But the goal is for that not to happen over the course of multiple years, you know. And I think I think it's a great idea. And, you know, Coach Heppel, who came from Evangel, he thinks it's a great idea. And he came from the heart, which was split, you know. And so what we've got to do as a conference, man, and it really is like, I think I listened to one of your other podcasts, and you had mentioned like Morningside hadn't traveled a road game in the playoffs in 10 years or something like that, right?
Yeah, some ungodly amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? And so as a conference, you know, so we're not necessarily talking about friends even, but as a conference, you know, when Kansas Western played the semifinals, they were undefeated at home in the playoffs. And so I think people greatly underestimate home field advantage in NAIA football. And so the hard part is when you're knocking on the door and you got to do it the hard way. If you're going to come from the KCAC and you're going to play in a semifinal game or make it to a national championship game, you got to host some playoff games, number one, or you're going to have to take the hard route. And it's kind of very interesting. So you mentioned the whole coaching poll thing. Like, well, I mean, look at how many home games. You know, it's really a home game issue. It's not a conference issue like the KCAC, the GPAC, the Heart. It's a home game issue. And so what can happen is you got to build some momentum. You got to stack special seasons in a row. And hopefully, you know, with as many returners as we have coming, hopefully you get a high early playoff, early season ranking, and then you take care of business as you go. And if you do that, you know, you got an opportunity to host some playoff games, which is obviously a really big deal in NAIA football. And if not, I got to be honest with you, man, I love it. Like you mentioned, I kind of scoffed at non-conference plays because I will play absolutely anybody. We travel, you know how it is. You've seen that in the past, bro. We ain't shying away from anybody. And so if we've got to do it the hard way and travel on the road, we'd be more than happy to do that too. And we embrace hard things here at Friends. But yeah, fun times, exciting time for the conference.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on the NAIA Football Podcast. Always a pleasure to have you on. I think this is the first time we've had you on at Friends, looking back through the show notes. You know, so I feel pretty confident that you won't be a stranger.
That's right, man. Anytime. I appreciate what you do, man. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIA Football Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.